When you need to make a turn in life and you reach the fork in the road, you don't know which direction to take? Worship. When you're utterly confused because your circumstances are falling apart, praise Him.
Dr. Tony Evans says worship can help you focus in the midst of chaos.
You say, but I'm confused. Praise Him for the confusion, because you're praising the one who can make the confusion unconfused.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Praise can make a big difference when you're stuck in bad circumstances. Today, we'll learn that one reason why is because it puts both you and the angels to work. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explains.
Today, I want to look at specifically activating angels. That is, getting them to work for you. We've already discovered in Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits who are assigned to those who inherit salvation. These invisible beings, which sometimes become visible based on God's particular will in a particular situation, are all around us. Because they're unseen, they can be easily taken for granted. But these powerful, awesome beings are critical for the program of God, and the reason is because this world is run by angels. So how do you get your angels working for you? Let me define the term, first of all, by activating angels. I know when you get a new credit card, they'll tell you that by such and such a time your card will be activated, meaning if you use it before then or when it's deactivated because you haven't paid your bills, it means it doesn't work for you. You can't use it. But not only that, you've got to use it the right way. If you go to the filling station, you know everything's electronic now, and you slip your credit card in. If you have it turned the wrong way, it won't activate. It won't turn the pump on because it wasn't put in right. You've got to be activated, and you've got to be putting it in right in order for the spirit world to be at work on your behalf. So since we are working in the spirit world, how are we activated? And by activating, I simply mean positioning ourselves so that God can allow His angels to work on our behalf. I do not mean by activating the angelic world, you forcing the angelic world to do anything, because the angelic world has no obligation to you. Angels listen to their boss, and you are not he. All right? The demonic realm, or the bad angels, the fallen angels, their boss is the devil. The holy angels, their boss is Jesus Christ. You are not the employer of any of them. So therefore, you have no authority in the angelic realm on your own. None. The authority comes because you are in right relationship with God, and because of that, He is predisposed to designate angelic activity on your behalf. So it is positioning ourselves so that God can put angels in motion on our behalf. That's what I mean by activation. Now, I'm going to tell you how to activate angels using one word. You activate angels on your behalf through worship. To put it another way, to deactivate angels, don't worship. The Bible says, you don't have to turn there, but it says in Hebrews 12:22 that when we come to worship, we join a myriad of angels. Now, the theology here is very simple. Angels were created for the worship of God. And when we join them in doing what they do best, God activates them on our behalf. It's as simple as that. So simply by breaking down the categories of worship, we will be able to understand how to activate angels on our behalf. Worship is the overriding word. Let's break it down and begin to look at it even more closely. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, it's a bad day because King Uzziah has died. Now, that may not mean much to you, but it meant a lot to Isaiah, because under King Uzziah, Israel had finally flourished. It had finally come in its own. It had finally become a power to be reckoned with. It had finally taken wings to soar. And yet, Uzziah had died. Now, I know, as I speak to you right now, some of your Uzziahs have died. Some things in life you were counting on to keep things steady, could be a job Uzziah, it could be a health Uzziah, it could be a circumstance Uzziah, but it's died, it's gone, and the hope you were placing in that thing or that set of circumstances is no longer available. When your Uzziah dies, when your circumstances plummet, join the angels. That's what Isaiah did. Because it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim, one of the branches of angels, stood above him, each having six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Now guess what they're doing. And one called out to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And when Isaiah goes to the temple on earth, he is transported to the temple in heaven. And when he's transported to the temple in heaven, the New Testament would call it heavenly places. Guess what he sees? He sees angels, seraphim. And guess what he sees these seraphim doing? Doing in heaven what he came to do on earth, worship. And whenever you and I go to worship, we join angels because that is nonstop activity. They are worshiping God, and as they worship God, they have six wings. With two wings, they cover their face because they could not look on the awesome glory of God naked. They cover their feet, symbolizing humility, because his train or robe filled the temple, so they couldn't stand on the king's robe. So it was utter humility. And with two, they did fly. They are ready now to do God's bidding when God says. Please notice they have six wings. Four are for worship, two are for working. You always spend more time in worship and less time in working, then you'll know what you're doing when you go to work, because you've gotten enough time in God's presence to know what he wants you to do. So, in the midst of this worship, this angelic worship, he hears them singing their song of praise. They sing antiphonally, that is, they're divided. Some are on one side of the temple, some are on another side of the temple. They're singing back and forth. One group says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The other group sings back, and the earth is full of his glory. Now that's deep, because what did they see? They saw the Lord high and lifted up, so they saw him transcendent. But what did they say? They say the earth is full of his glory. That means they saw him imminent. Transcendent means he's way out there. He's beyond grasping. He's distinct and distant. Imminent means he's right in the middle of everything. You can't touch anything without touching him. The angels sing he's both. He's high and lifted up. He's outside of normal ability to understand. Yet the earth is full of his glory. He's all over the place. They recognize this uniqueness about God. And he is brought into another realm. Now follow this. Why did he go to the temple? Because King Uzziah died, right? His earthly circumstances were a mess. But when he went into the temple, he saw something he couldn't read in the newspaper. The newspaper had the headlines, King is dead. The temple had the headlines, the king is alive. The issue is, which newspaper are you going to read? See, if you look at your circumstances through earth eyes, they look bad. King Uzziah has died. There's no hope. But when you come into the temple of God and you see what God is about, that changes how you view your circumstances on earth. So he sees God. And any of you who've come to a worship service and maybe on Saturday your Uzziah died, your world fell apart, and then God showed up on Sunday. And there was new hope, a new sense that all was not lost. That's what he does. So he goes into worship. And when he goes into worship, something happens, verse 4, the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. So this wasn't no little whisper in worship. The place was shaken. The foundations were shaking, and it was filling with smoke. Sacrifice, that was the whole thing of worship, the sacrifice unto God. And now the most spiritual man in Israel, the prophet Isaiah, says what? Woe is me. I was good till I came here. Yeah, I believe in God, but I've never seen him high and lifted up like this. He got to see God as he really is. He saw how unlike God he was, even though he's a great guy. Because when you get to see God, you get a new view of yourself, and it's not pretty. And in front of his holiness, what made him feel woe? That word woe means undone, or I'm coming apart at the seams. That's what woe means. I'm literally coming apart at the seams. I live among an unclean people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then when? After he joined the angels in worship, after he let worship define his circumstances and not what the newspaper said about Uzziah to define his circumstance, guess what? The angels move. Verse 6, then one of the seraphims flew to me and a burning coal in his hands, which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips and your iniquity is taken away and your sin is forgiven. He got purified in the temple. How did he get purified? By an angel. In other words, when he went to worship God, God gave an angel the responsibility of putting hot coals to his lips in order to clean his life up. Why? Verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Now he gets a mission. He now finds out what he's supposed to do with his life. He now finds out which direction he's supposed to take. He now finds out which area he's supposed to go in, because he went into the temple to praise the Lord. He went into the temple to see the Lord. He went into the temple to worship the Lord. He wound up joining the angels. God let the angels purify him so he could hear the voice of God directing him. When you need to know which way God wants you to go and you're unclear, worship. When you need to make a turn in life and you've reached a fork in the road, you don't know which direction to take, worship. When you're utterly confused because your circumstances are falling apart, praise him. You say, but I'm confused. Praise him for the confusion. Say, why should I praise him for the confusion? Because you're praising the one who can make the confusion unconfused. Praise him. That's what the angels were doing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the earth is full of his glory. Praise is the mechanism of worship that led to angelic activity.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with some startling news for those who think sacrifice is nothing more than some kind of Old Testament ritual. First, though, make a point of requesting the new edition of his book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll teach you how to call out to heaven for the power you need to overcome relationship problems, drug and alcohol strongholds, financial problems, sinful impulses, and even the more ordinary day-to-day challenges the devil throws in our way. This new luxury-bound edition looks and feels like leather, so it makes a great gift or a keepsake for your own collection. Either way, we'll send you a copy of Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare if you contact us by tomorrow and help support Tony's work here on the air and around the world with a contribution of any size, large or small. As a special bonus, we'll include all 6 messages in Volume 1 of Tony's current 2-volume series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. Details are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org or call 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by. That's 1-800-800-3222. More from Dr. Evans after this.
People say Tony Evans' teaching makes the scripture come alive. Imagine hearing it all at the very spot where the events of the Bible actually happened. Join Dr. Tony Evans on a once-in-a-lifetime tour of Israel. You'll stand where the crowds welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, sit where they gathered to hear the Sermon on the Mount, worship in the room where the Last Supper took place, and see for yourself that Jesus' tomb is really empty. There are lots more stops on this 9-day pilgrimage, and along the way, Tony will share fascinating background stories and unforgettable insights that'll change the way you think about Scripture forever. Don't miss your chance to make an amazing investment in your family and your faith. Join Tony in Israel, November 7th through the 16th. Visit TonyEvans.org today to check out the complete itinerary and make your reservation. Space is limited and spots are filling up, so don't wait. That's TonyEvans.org.
A second area of worship that you need to know about is sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Sacrifice is giving something up of value to you for God. That's sacrifice. There's a song that is often sung, we bring the sacrifice of praise, something of value to you in honor of God. Do I trust God enough to give something up of value to me, to him? Now, let me give you without us reading it, you can read it on your own, Genesis 22. You remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Now, that's a tough deal, your only son. But I want you to sacrifice him as an act of faith. And Abraham walks Isaac up the mountain. Isaac has a very wise question. He says, Dad, every other time we've come up this mountain, you've had something to sacrifice. I don't see anything today. Huh? Little did he know that he was it. Abraham said to him, Son, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you willing to give up something of value to you to get something back from God more valuable than that which you gave up? Because that's often the test. So he gets up there, he ties Isaac on the altar, he prepares to take Isaac's life, and then the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord came and says, now I know that you fear me. There was a ram caught in the thicket all the time. Let me tell you something. God will send his angels with the answer to your prayers when he knows you're willing to make the sacrifice. He did not show up. The angel did not show up when Abraham got out of bed that morning. See, a lot of us would have said, okay, God, I'm getting up out of bed like I'm going to sacrifice him. So where are you? Okay? He did not show up when he got to the foot of the mountain. A lot of us would say, okay, I got dressed, got in my car, drove down here. Where are you? He didn't show up when he was walking up the mountain. He said, now look, now you're carrying this too far, God. I'm walking in the right direction of what you want. No, when he laid him on the altar, God still didn't show up. Okay, God, now you're carrying this a little bit too far. I know you really didn't mean literally. You just wanted me to go through the motions. It was not until he was about to come down to the point of absolute conformity to the expectation of God that the angel showed up, and then the angel let him know there is a ram caught in the thicket. Now guess what? That was the most quiet ram in that thicket that you've ever seen. Why? Because God had the answer there all the time. The issue was, where are you going to follow me all the way to the end? God has got the answers to many of our problems. He has an angel he's ready to send in order to direct us to that answer. He wants to know, are we going to carry our obedience to him all the way? Let me show you an example of sacrifice, though. 1 Chronicles 21. This is a negative example in the life of David. David got prideful one day, and David decided that he was going to number the people. Number the people meant to count how many military men he had in order to fight the battle, and God was upset because David was shifting his faith from God to his human ability. That is, counting how many soldiers, or for some of us, it may be counting how much money we have in the bank, or maybe counting how, how many businesses we have. Or, in other words, he had shifted trust from God to his own human ability, and God was angry at his independent pride. Remember, because whenever you're prideful, you remind him of his arch enemy, the devil. David knows he's got a problem on his hand because God is ticked off at it. Verse 18. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go out and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. In other words, if he was going to get out of this mess, he needed to build an altar. Why do you build an altar? To worship. Verse 21, so David came to Ornan and he looked at David. He went on the threshing floor, prostrated himself before David with his face to the ground. David said to Ornan, give me the site of this threshing floor that I may build an altar to the Lord. For the full price you shall give it to me, that the plague may be restrained from the people. In other words, I done made a mess. I need forgiveness and I need this plague to be removed. Ornan said to David, take it for yourself and let my lord the king do what is good in his sight. See, I will give the ox for a burnt offering and the threshing sledges for wood and wheat for the grain offering. I will give it all. You don't have to buy it. You're the king. I will give it to you. But notice David's response in verse 24. But King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord or offer a burnt offering which cost me nothing. A lot of us want free worship. That is, a lot of us want the blessings of God without any sacrifice for ourselves. It's amazing how we will sacrifice for other things in our lives that are important. We'll get an education because we want to become a doctor or a lawyer or some other, so we'll sacrifice that, or long hours at the office in order to get the promotion or to get the raise. Or we will make sacrifices in our lives because of the value we place on the thing we want. But when it comes to God, it's always He that has to understand, and anything that causes us to take an extra breath, we don't want to do. He says, I will not worship God with that which costs me nothing. So David builds an altar there, and verse 27, and the Lord commanded the angel, and he put the sword back in his sheath. The sword means he was going to act as God's judge on David and the people of Israel, but judgment was withheld. Listen to me. If you've done something to tick God off for which you deserve judgment, but you want grace, that's what David wanted, grace, sacrifice unto the Lord. Sacrifice unto the Lord. Give up something that is of value to you. It could be a sacrifice of time where you decide to cut off the television set and spend that time with the Lord rather than just for your own entertainment. Some of you may be robbing God in your giving, so it could be resources that you're holding back on God and you're robbing Him and wonder why He does not supply angelic blessing in your life. Because you cannot rob God and win. Worship includes sacrifice. So it includes praise and it includes sacrifice. Another story, again, this one you don't have to turn to, but in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 15, you've got the story of Zacharias. Zacharias is an older man, and he and his wife Elizabeth have been wanting a baby for many, many moons now. They're past childbearing years, but the angel Gabriel comes to him and says, during worship, while he was worshiping God, it says that the angel of the Lord came and told him that now his wife in her old age was going to have a baby. And then he tells him why. He says, because God has heard your request. Now, he sure took a long time to answer. Now, this is a very powerful story if there are some of you who've been waiting for a miracle for a long time. You've been praying for something for years, because they've been praying for this for years, that God would give them a baby, and nothing happened because the baby that God wanted to give had to be the forerunner for Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, so he had to come in the proximity of Jesus Christ. So God had to delay the answered prayer to fit into his program. Listen, when you come in this place on Wednesday night or even in your own prayer time, you pray expecting something to happen. Don't let it be said in heaven that a lot of blessings never were delivered by angels down to you on earth because you didn't pray or you didn't expect anything when you prayed. If you have a legitimate request and a legitimate need, then you give a legitimate prayer and expect a legitimate answer.
Dr. Tony Evans, with advice on how to worship your way through tough times. One final reminder, the time is running out on our current double offer. It starts with all six full-length messages in Tony's current series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly, packed with bonus content and entire messages we haven't had time to present on the air. Along with it, you'll get that special luxury-bound edition of Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare as a special bonus, all as our way of saying thanks for your contribution of any amount, large or small. Our ministry is 100% listener-supported, so we count on your faithfulness and generosity to keep coming your way. This limited-time offer runs out tomorrow, so don't put it off. Call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org, the place to go to connect with all of our resources, ministry programs, and special events like Without Walls. Tickets are still available for this special evening that features Tony's preaching and worship with his son Anthony. Check with us today before they're gone. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Well, we usually feel pretty good when we get our own way. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans shows how passing up that privilege can make you feel even better. Don't miss it. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.